Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field, and I'm coming to you fresh off a visit to the Red Cross to donate blood, so don't mind the little bandage there on my arm. But, Wes, we are back from Denver. The Packers lose to the Broncos 20-17 in their third preseason game at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. And Aaron Rodgers only gets two series with the starting offense, and I guess at the end of the day, not the type of production the Packers were looking for, certainly not as smooth and effective and efficient as the previous week in Washington, but Aaron Rodgers says, hey, it is what it is, we're ready to go for the regular season.
More than anything, Mike, they were healthy,
and they
got out of this healthy. Beforehand, we knew Brian Bulaga was not going to play at right tackle after sustaining that ankle injury. But everybody else entered the game and left the game 100% ready for the regular season. So first and foremost, that's the biggest thing. From Aaron Rodgers' perspective, as you said, yeah, they really weren't able to get that 15-play drive like they did in Washington going. But I think you saw some of the major things that are going to be there for the offense this season. He had two downfield throws. He lamented afterwards in the postgame press conference, usually throws he usually will make, you know, over the course of the season, a little too far for Jordy Nelson on one, overshot Randall Cobb in the end zone on another. But that's the opportunity that you get in the preseason, something he's going to work through now in practice, and hopefully for that first game against the Seattle Seahawks, be back to the pinpoint, accurate Aaron Rodgers that everybody knows.
Yeah, it was interesting, he thought that the altitude in Denver, had an impact on those throws, because he said both throws felt really good coming out of his hand, but yet he overthrew Nelson by, 5 to 10 yards. It was a significant overshot. Didn't miss Cobb by that much,
right.
but he thought maybe the ball sailed on him a little bit just because of the altitude. So one of those things that's obviously hard to adjust to just within two series on offense there. But you mentioned it, Brian Bulaga missed the game at right tackle. Packers rotated in Kyle Murphy and Jason Spriggs. Packers still trying to sort out some things there with the reserves on the offensive line. And Aaron Rodgers said it, Mike McCarthy said it after the game as well, that they need to get better with that number two group. One more preseason game here to really figure out who those backups are going to be.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Packers, they've had a lot of injuries. That's kind of where they've been hit the most right now, has been on the offensive line. When you look at what happened with Brian Bulaga, Lucas Patrick leaves the game with being evaluated for concussion. Don Barkley's already missing time.
Yeah, he's been out for a while. Yeah.
So they've really had to kind of go deep in the coffers there. I mean, Justin McCray, who I think on theory would be like the fourth string center, ended up playing most of the second half at that spot with Brett Hundley. So it is. It's an area that the Packers are going to be focused on and trying to see what they can sort out in this last preseason game. You would imagine that the starters, I wouldn't envision them playing in this one. I'm guessing it'll be a lot of those second and third team units. But at the same time, a guy like Kyle Murphy, I thought this was a really good opportunity for him. He got the chance to start in that game. And then he rotated with Jason Spriggs after that. Spriggs worked at right tackle. Then when the second team offense came in the second half, then Spriggs worked exclusively at left tackle, Murphy at right tackle. Important reps for both of those guys, trying to find, their rhythm and where they're at. And also for the Packers, as Aaron Rodgers said, trying to establish who the swing tackle is going to be, who's going to be the first guard up, on the interior. Those are things that with a week to go in training camp, I think for the most part, are largely unsettled.
Yeah, Rodgers suggested, at least from his words, that he thought maybe Don Barkley was going to be coming back soon. We still don't know exactly the extent of that or what the timeline on Barkley is. But you mentioned Brett Hundley coming in, and as it turned out, Hundley ended up playing the rest of the game after the first two series. We didn't see any of Joe Callahan, none of Taysom Hill, and this was the plan. This was the game for Brett Hundley to really play the majority of the game. He was able to direct one long touchdown drive there in the second half, which got the Packers from 20-10 to 20-17. Had a nice scramble there to the pylon, a little box out move by a couple of his teammates there to get him into the end zone. Not the ultra productive, game obviously that Hundley was hoping for, but not exactly a lot of glaring mistakes either. Just some things that maybe didn't run as smoothly as he was hoping.
Yeah, I mean, for the large part, he was incredibly efficient, 20 of 30, and I think he's going to end up, depending on whether or not he plays in this preseason finale, I think he's going to end up completing somewhere around 70-74%, somewhere around there as far as his passes this preseason. So I mean, he's been throwing the ball, it's been accurate. It's just been he got sacked four times, a couple negative yardage percentage plays that worked against the Packers, specifically looking at penalties.
Right.
One area that, as you kind of mentioned with the Jeff Triplett team, you're never really sure what you're going to get, but I'm sure there's part of it, too, that the Packer coaching staff is looking at. But the big thing for Hundley, I think, that he showed, once again, when he got with those second and third teamers, guys that, you know, may necessarily not be on the 53-man roster at the, you know, after this final cut, still being able to find ways to move the football, be effective. I thought he utilized his running backs especially well when it started with Ty Montgomery and then finished, you know, with Aaron Jones and Devontae Mays, those type of players. So in that regard, I was really impressed by what I saw from him. And again, he wasn't sure whether or not he's going to play in this preseason finale. If he doesn't, I thought, again, has really established why he is the number two backup to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah, Hundley was able to find the running backs as kind of check down safety valve, was able to move the chains a couple times. Really the most unfortunate thing for Hundley in this performance were those two fourth and one sneaks that the timing wasn't right, the blocking wasn't right. If you convert one or hopefully both of those, I think the whole production, the opportunities and everything for him to try to score more points are there, but getting stopped on a couple of fourth and one quarterback sneaks, that's tough to swallow.
It is, and it's one of those things too. The Packers looking to kind of shore up now going into this last game against the Rams.
All right, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, we talked about it, you know, on the plane on the way back from Denver. Just a very uneven performance overall for the Packers. The, you know, a couple of nice runs in the running game, but then lots of negative plays, way too many penalties, a nice punt return, but too many flags on special teams. The run defense lets some runs leak out, but then they get some nice short yardage stops as well. So a lot of ups and downs, but if there was a position for the Packers that I thought played steady, had a steady playmaking presence, it was the safety spot, and in particular two second-year safeties, Kentrell Bryce and Marwin Evans. That interception and 42-yard return by Bryce early in the game, that was a heck of a play.
It was. You got to keep in mind, too, I mean, Clinton Dix was a late scratch in this game with knee soreness, so Bryce ends up getting the start. Not a situation, you know, that he hasn't been in before, with him getting as much work as he has with the starting dime defense over the last year, but still an important kind of position for him to show what he can do. And I thought on that play particularly was perfectly well executed because he put himself in the right position. He was anticipating the receiver running a dig route, him coming down, collapsing, getting the tackle in case he caught it, or being able to you know, break it up. Well, as it just happens, Trevor Siemian ends up overthrowing it.
Yeah.
Goes right into his gut, and that's a quick reaction, flash of the ball type play. Not only does he intercept it, hold on to it, catch it, he also has the presence of mind to look upfield. Darren Perry always talks about this with his safety groups, wanting to bring it back to the house, wanting a score. Morgan Burnett said they had a little bit of fun with him because he got tackled at the 2-yard line, but still, it's those type of plays that I think have shown why Kentrell Bryce, and also, as we'll talk about shortly, Marwin Evans, have really stepped up despite all the depth that they have at that position with Josh Jones coming in and obviously Burnett and Clinton Dix doing what they've done for many years now.
Yeah, you mentioned that being kind of a flash of the ball type of interception. It looks like it's an easy interception, but really a lot of times in that situation, the defensive back is focused on the player.
Right.
He's focused on the man that he's covering, getting ready to try to make a hit, make the tackle, doesn't necessarily see the ball. But when that ball is overthrown, that's when the opportunity is there, and Bryce pounced on it.
He absolutely did. And again, I mean, those all preseason long, he's been making those type of plays. Now, he hasn't had an interception, but, I mean, the pass breakups, the physicality, what he offers as a complete safety is one of the reasons I think the Packers, when they look at this roster, both offense, defense, special teams, they look at that position as one of the strongest on their roster at this point in time.
Yeah, and another guy who took the same route last year as Bryce, Marwin Evans, an undrafted prospect, makes the 53-man roster, got most of his playing time as a rookie on special teams, but his play at safety on Saturday night, the tackling was sure, broke up a couple of passes, probably should have had an interception there in the second half. I know he'd like that one back because he might have had a little room to run just like his teammate Bryce. But a solid effort, and again, demonstrating, as you mentioned, with Clinton Dix taking a rest for the night, the Packers have some depth at that position.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, the Evans play was almost a carbon copy of what happened on the Bryce one, just an overthrow, and it hits him right in the chest, falls down, can't bring it in.
Yep.
But he also had a really, that would have been a second second pick of the preseason. A couple weeks back, he had a really nice one, I believe, against Philadelphia. So, I mean, it's just those kind of things that make the ultimate difference for players. For Evans' perspective, I think he's been one of the top performers in the Packers this preseason because of the playmaking ability, the side-to-side, the sideline-to-sideline speed, but also just the sure tackling on the back end. He's had to play a lot. Because they've been moving him into the – he's been coming in a lot of times in these games in the second quarter and almost playing straight till the end.
Yeah.
As deep as they are, it's not like they have a lot of other UFAs behind them that are kind of filling in the fourth quarter. Evans has probably played more snaps than anybody on defense, and I think he's risen to the occasion, really stepped up. A neat sideline to the story of Evans and Bryce is the fact that they actually have been roommates since they got to Green Bay when they travel on the road in the dorms the night before games in Green Bay. Those are two guys that at one point in time were basically competing for one job. The Packers decide to keep six safeties, and here they are today. And, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, nothing's ever certain during the final week of training camp, but I think both of them have put themselves in good positions to be on this roster again.
Yeah, I think what happened last year, you mentioned the keeping six safeties, which was a surprise because that's certainly a high number. But it's an example of how the Packers go about things here, and we'll see that this upcoming weekend with the final roster cuts and whatnot. That if you can contribute on special teams and if you have the athletic ability that shows promise that you're a developing player that is showing that upside down the road, if you've got those two qualities, there's a very good chance that they are going to find a spot for you on the 53-man roster position, you know, numbers-wise at certain positions, you know, kind of get shoved aside in those situations.
Absolutely. I mean, they earn their stripes, they earn their ability, they earn their opportunity on this roster through special teams last year. Now as they're getting more exposure to defense, I think both of those guys are showing that they're here to play.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we're going to go to break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, getting back to the number one offense, we saw Ty Montgomery get back into action as the Packers starting running back. He missed the second preseason game against Washington with a lower leg injury and was trying to, you know, make up a little bit for what was a disappointing preseason opener against Philadelphia, where he just got a few carries, didn't really get any yards, and fumbled the ball. And we saw Ty Montgomery get his feet under him, so to speak. That 25-yard run, that was pretty impressive. It got the offense going, eventually led to a field goal, but I'm sure that had to feel good for number 88.
Yeah, and I think for that offensive line, too, on that particular play, Lane Taylor, you know, being the pull guard, going from left side to right, kind of clears that lane with Jari Evans and also Kyle Murphy over there to kind of give him and spring him for that run. And I think the thing you saw from Montgomery, and he's talked about it a lot this offseason, you know, he added weight to his frame. He allowed himself to be more natural. He's not trying to cut weight to be a receiver anymore. So now he's more in that 220, 223 range, but yet he's still equally as explosive. His ability to kind of accelerate through the tackles, make a guy miss, and look downfield, I think, is one of his biggest strengths. It is interesting because you raise a good point. This is a good time for him to get work, but as last year showed, I mean, it's not really a prerequisite for him. I mean, he sort of hit the ground running and kind of had to roll with the punches last season and end up playing pretty well. So, but at the same time, any amount of work he can get this season, especially I'm sure he wanted to erase, you know, what happened against the Eagles, to have a chance to sort of get running and get going is good. And then also the two-yard touchdown, being able to pound that in as well, a good sign for him in short yardage situations.
Yeah, I think that two-yard touchdown run was maybe just as impressive just from the standpoint of it looked like he was stopped. He took a pretty big hit there at the goal line, but had the presence of mind and the ball security to be able to maintain control of the ball and reach it out to be able to break the plane. I mean, we've seen it happen so many times. You think, okay, it's first and goal and the two, okay, they get stopped on first down, no big deal. Well, a lot of times, you know, that's when a defense can kind of start to rise up and feel the mojo there for a goal line stand. So being able to just break that plane on first down and get it in the end zone and get it over with, I thought that was an impressive play.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, this is one of the biggest things for a Packers offense and really any NFL offense in general. It's difficult to pass in those situations. I'm not saying it's not possible, but you're taking the defense, you're condensing them into basically an area of 20 yards. And they have that opportunity to defend and condense and being able to, you know, shadow guys and zone. Well, when you run the football, it's really your ultimate weapon because now you can, you know, stretch them a little bit. You can kind of play with them a little bit. You have to make them think about moving up to the line of scrimmage to stop them. So a very important play from him. And really, to be honest with you, all the Packer running backs, I thought in some shape or form, really did step up in this game.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones ends up having the 6 carries for 43 yards and a 28-yard run. You saw Jamal Williams, what he could do as a pass catcher out of the backfield, 3 catches for 46 yards. So whether it was those red zone opportunities or just making things work in the middle of the field, for the Packers getting off to the slow start that they did in the backfield, I thought this was a really good positive step for them going now into this last preseason game.
Yeah, and talking about those other running backs, Williams was certainly making himself available to Brett Hundley for those throws. I believe, you know, one reception was 17 yards, another one 10-plus or so
20, yeah.
to move the chains. And and then you mentioned the 28-yard run by Aaron Jones. The Packers are backed up inside their own 5-yard line, and boom, you get out of that hole right away. Now, I know this is just the preseason, but in a regular season game, a play like that, even if it doesn't lead to points, you get out of a hole like that when you're backed up next to your goal line. That's a big play, and that was a nice run there by Aaron Jones.
Big chance and big opportunity to change the field position. They did end up having a punt on that drive, but Justin Vogel was not doing that out of his own end zone, so good on that part. And also the other thing I think you have to like, too, is that you mentioned it is the preseason, but you know, don't tell Devontae Mays that, don't tell Aaron Jones that.
Oh,
these
right.
are guys that are right now trying to earn a roster spot. So as Jones said afterwards, it was the first time he really felt like he got into a rhythm again since college and really, you know, got a chance to show the coaching staff and the Packers personnel department what he can offer.
Yeah, no question. Before we go to break, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business. So picture this, you and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Sub's, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, before we go, Trevor Davis, we talked about him last week, second-year wide receiver. He's trying to win that punt return job and didn't help himself with the fumble at Washington coming off of the nice 68-yard touchdown return against Philadelphia. But he made another statement towards trying to win that job with a pretty nifty 27-yard return, what looked like it might be more like a 7-yard return. He turns into 27 yards with some nice moves and gets the Packers some pretty good field position. I thought that was – and that was not a Trevor Davis-like blinding speed
right.
return. This was some moves and some shiftiness in the open field.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. This was a lot more finesse, and that is important because I think arguably he is the fastest guy on this team. He's certainly in that conversation.
Yep.
But this wasn't just, you know, blowing past everybody. This was making something out of what he saw in front of him. Now, he made the first guy miss again, like his, you know, kickoff or his punt return for a touchdown earlier this season. But after that, being able to utilize his block, setting guys up, being able to, you know, shift around, I thought this was a really important game for Trevor Davis in a number of ways. First off, 27-yard return, you're never going to argue with that. But also showing really the composure that he showed since dropping that punt in Washington.
Right.
That can be a crippling moment for a punt returner. But, you know, getting a chance to talk to him in the locker room afterwards, he said, you know, I have to have a short memory. I have to look towards the next play because that's the only thing he can do. He could sabotage himself by overthinking it and panicking and doing it again. But the only way to really bounce back from that is to get back to playing the way he knows he can play. And then also a credit to him. I mean, he had a few catches, 3 catches for 39 yards as well offensively, showed some speed on the reverse. This was a good game for Trevor Davis, really, to show the Packers what he can do in every phase.
Yeah, he was able to pick up that first down when they ran the end around on third down there. But getting back to the punt return, I agree with you. I thought this was a big moment, a big game for Davis. And to his credit, he performed the way he did because when you look back at last year, after the muffed punt in Tennessee in the regular season, he really didn't play much again the rest of the
right.
year. So when you muff one in the game against Washington, you have to wonder mentally, psychologically, how does that affect a young player after what he went through last year? But you said it, the short memory. And personally, I think, as what I said on the show last week, I thought the play against Washington was more of a mental error than a physical one, because he should have seen what was going on in front of him and just called for a fair catch. He was trying to do too much. And the mental mistake led to the physical one. I think if you process it the right way, makes it a little easier to bounce back from.
Yeah, it's a game within the game. It really is. Because, I mean, kickoff returns are one thing, to be able to just have that natural explosiveness and be able to get downfield. But punt returns are a different animal. And you have to be a special type of football player to be good at it. I think Randall Cobb, Micah Hyde showed that disposition for the position, you know, being able to stand in, know when to, you know, have your fair catch, know when to pull, you know, get an opportunity to bring it back. Trevor Davis, I think, has all the natural ability that you could ask for in that capacity, and I think does have the mindset for it. It's just about tying everything together. You don't want to see a fumble on a punt return. I'm not trying to say that that's a good thing.
Right.
But this is a chance to work through those things. And for the Packers, honestly, these two preseason games, they need to get him out there as much as possible to know whether or not they can count on him once that week one game comes around against Seattle.
Yeah, and this is interesting with this entire Packers receiving core here. You're talking Trevor Davis and Jeff Janis and Geronimo Allison and the two draft picks. And there's one more game here to sort this whole thing out. I know we can talk more about it on our next show, but the Packers are going to have some decisions to make, because the bottom line is there just isn't room for everybody, no matter how much talent you have at one position.
Yeah, they're going to get a good serving size of snaps, too, against the Rams, but I'm guessing those top three veterans not playing.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. Well, we're going to call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.